dealing with the problem of limited vision. I think that's something that we all face from time to time, limited vision. Over the years, I've come to two conclusions based on the Word of God and on my own experience. Number one, Christ still calls men and women and young people to follow Him today. If you have not come to that place in your own life as yet, I would encourage you to take that step. God wants you to be part of His family. Number two, Christ still calls men and women and youth to serve Him full time. There could be some here today that feel God's call in their life, full-time ministry. Don't neglect to follow the path that He may have called you to. One prime example of this, of course, was in the life of Peter, God's call upon his life. Christ called him to be His disciple. How did it all happen? Let's examine the scriptures that was read just a few moments ago in our service to find out. In the beginning of the story, Peter is fishing for fish. By the end of the story, he's fishing for men. I find it fascinating to consider the individuals Jesus chose as His first disciples. It's clear that He didn't go to an executive search firm or visit some placement office. He started by calling individuals with dirt under their fingernails, blue-collar type individuals, people who knew about hard work and about the value of perseverance. Jesus chose fishermen. Fishermen as His first followers. Not exactly how we might have done it, I think. I wonder why He started with fishermen. Do you ever wonder? Ever cross your mind with that question? Why He chose fishermen? I think I know the answer. Fishermen understand this story very, very well. To be a fisherman, you see, you need patience. You need a lot of patience above anything else. Sometimes someone will ask a fisherman, how can you stand there in that boat or in the water for hours on end waiting for fish to bite? The answer is, it is easy. That's what fishing is all about. If you can't handle getting skunked from time to time, then you'd probably be better off not fishing at all. The process, or the progress in this story is very simple. First, Jesus caught fish, and then Jesus caught Peter, and then Peter gets involved in catching others for Christ. But it all begins with a frustrated fisherman cleaning his nets after a long, hard night of catching nothing. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 tells us a bit of that story. So one day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, another name for the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding around Him and listening to the Word of God, He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and He asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then He sat down and He taught the people from the boat. And as He taught, He asked Peter to do a very strange thing. Go further out into the water and cast his fishing net. Peter responded, he said, Master, we've worked hard all night, you don't understand. We've got nothing. You see, fishing is hard work. You see, it's one thing to fish on the weekends, something else to fish every day for a living. And that's what Peter, Andrew, James, and John had done on the Sea. Sea of Galilee year-round. Fished many days on that Sea of Galilee. And they either sold their fish locally, or they fished where the fish that were caught were cured and then sold far away in a place called Spain. You see that in this next picture. Now, you would get rich that way, but hardworking man could take care of his family in the fishing business. Well, now back to the story. Now it's morning and Peter and the others are exhausted. They're dejected. They're probably in a bad mood. Fishermen like to say that your worst day fishing is better than your best day in the office. But I'm not sure Peter would have agreed at that particular moment. Now they're busy mending their nets. It's a time-consuming work made more difficult by the frustration of knowing they had caught nothing the night before. Jesus asked Peter if he could use his boat. Peter, as you recall, immediately agrees. He knows Jesus. He admires him greatly. I believe he already has become a follower of sorts, but until now, he has never made a full, wholehearted commitment. When Jesus wants to use his boat for a pulpit, Peter's honored to grant that request. How fitting it is. Jesus comes to the scene of Peter's failure, and he uses it to preach the word. He takes the ordinary, and he makes that ordinary extraordinary. He makes it sacred. I wonder how often he has done that in your life. I'm sure he has. He used a simple fishing boat as the setting for a mighty miracle. Nothing in this story happens by chance. All is meant to teach us a very, very important lesson. By the way, God still prepares us for his call by allowing us to endure personal failure from time to time. You know that? He allowed that to happen in my life. Back when I was a teen in high school, we were required to give a 2 to 5 minute speech before the class. When it came my turn, I totally bombed it. My mind actually went blank at one point. I was embarrassed. I was totally convinced that public speaking was not my forte. That's why I struggled when I felt God's call to go into the ministry. As I look back on that experience today, though, you know what I thank God for? You see, until we sense our need of the Lord, we will not be ready to follow Him as we should. After all, if you think you're self-sufficient, why would you need Christ? We must be stripped of our self-confidence before we can be ever used in any great way of God. Peter must be broken before he's ready to respond to the call of Christ upon his life. And friend, so will be with you. Now Peter faced a big challenge in this story. It was a challenge of obedience. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your net for a catch." Simon responded, "Master, we worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Please note, the words of Jesus contain both a command and also a promise. It's not as if Jesus is saying, "Go out into the deep water, put down your nets, and then see what happens." Jesus is promising that if Peter will obey, he will catch some fish. No wonder after a long night of pure fruitless fishing, this would have been very hard for him to believe. We can learn some useful lessons from this. lessons that I had to learn the very hard way. Number one, God never gives foolish commands. He never gives foolish commands. Though they may look foolish at the time. That's the way I looked at my call to the ministry. At the time, I thought it was utter foolishness that God would call me into full-time ministry. Number two, God intends to bless those who obey Him. Boy, has He blessed me over the last 50 years. As I've already shared with you several times over the last month of celebrating my 50 years in ministry. And I'm so glad I'm here. Number three, God's greatest miracles usually requires our cooperation. There were certain reasons for Peter to be skeptical about doing what he did. After all, the experience of the previous night seemed very conclusive. As a professional fisherman, you see, Peter knew that lake. And he knew that sometimes even the best fishermen get skunked. He could have said, "Sorry, Lord, but it's really not worth my trouble. For I'm the expert here. I fish on that lake all the time, and I know." Now comes the time for Peter to fish or cut bait. What will Peter do? He decided to go fishing in the middle of the day, of all things. He went because Jesus said to do it, and also because he is a fisherman. And every fisherman lives by the credo, you never know what might happen next. True fishermen are always ready to give it another go. Why not? After all, when you get skunked, you can't wait to get back out in the water again and see if you might get success the next time. And there's always reason you failed the last time. Could be too much light, too little light. Water was too clear, maybe too muddy, the fish were too deep, or they were too shallow, it was too much wind, or not enough wind. It doesn't matter, does it? Fishermen still love to fish. I love the way Peter puts it. Because you say so. In the King James Version, the phrase is, "Nevertheless, at thy word." You know something? This is the watchword of the saints. Across the centuries, believers have found them to be their divine marching orders. Conditions may be dark. The world may fight against us. Circumstances may overwhelm us. Our fears may almost submerge us. God speaks, and His children need to say, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will do what you tell me to do." And off they go in obedience to Almighty God. In fact, middle-aged Abraham, remember him? He set up across the desert with no more than this, "Nevertheless, at thy word." He didn't know where he was going. He didn't have a clue. He obeyed God. And there's Noah, who built an ark in the face of an unbelieving world with no more than this, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will obey and build that boat." Moses defied Pharaoh, looking to heaven and saying, "Nevertheless, at thy word." Joshua marched around Jericho day after day, with this on his heart, "Nevertheless, at thy word." And the walls of Jericho eventually came tumbling down. And then there's young David, confounding all the doubting men of Israel by marching into the valley, armed with this confidence, "Nevertheless, at thy word." Jesus said, "Let down the nets." Peter added, "I will let down the nets because you say so." You see, Peter still had his part to play in this miracle, didn't he? Fish aren't going to jump into the boat by themselves. He still had to do what he had to do. Same as with us. We've got to go to work. Got to stay on that diet. We've got to go to the meetings. We've got to go to the counselor. We've got to do our homework. We've got to write that term paper. We've got to share the gospel. There is still work that God calls us to do. I believe there are many answers to prayer that await only one thing. Let down your nets. Put your net down into the deep water and do your part, and then God will do His part. Now we come to the demonstration of divine power. We look at Luke chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their net began to break. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. You know something? This is what fishermen dream about. They spend a lifetime fishing in hopes that maybe, just maybe, one day, something like this will happen to them. What a sight. So many fish came into the nets that they began to break. The men ended up filling both boats with so many fish that the boats, both boats almost began to sink. Think about it. Two overloaded boats with fish flopping everywhere, slowly coming to shore. This is the biggest catch ever. And it happened in the middle of the day, of all things. Please note that the fish were there all along. I don't believe it's because Jesus created those fish on the spur of the moment. I believe they were in the water all that time. Those fish were in the water the night before. Peter just couldn't find them. When Jesus suggests something to be done, friends, everything changes. Everything is happening according to God's plan. He allowed Peter to fail so that he would learn what he could do with Jesus' help. The same is true with you and me. There's a nice moral to this part of the story. Here it is. Empty nets without Him. Full nets of blessing when we obey Him, follow His path that He has for us. So let's go fishing with Jesus every day and see what blessing He might have in store for us. Now we come to Peter's confession of inadequacy. Luke chapter 5, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." He and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's pack partners. This is the kind of confession we don't often hear today. One might expect Peter to start bragging to his friends afterwards. "Hey, look at all these fish. We're the greatest fishermen in the world." But instead, Peter's overwhelmed. The word translated astonished actually means to be terrified by the enormous catch of fish. I think Jesus has completely blown his categories. For Peter, a good catch might be 30 fish, maybe 50, perhaps 100, but he never dreamt of catching 5,000 fish at one time. Instead of elating him, the sight of such a huge catch evaporated his confidence and left him dazed and left him frightened. Like most of us, Peter thought in man-sized categories, not God-sized miracles. He had room in his mind for anything he himself could handle. But when Jesus got involved, the results blew his circuits, and in the providence of God, drove him to his knees in desperate prayer. The scene is reminiscent of Isaiah's reaction upon seeing the Lord high and lifted up. Remember what happened? In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Isaiah said, "Woe is me! I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." You see, once Peter realized who Jesus really was, the true Son of God from heaven, he saw himself in a new light. You see, God is to see ourselves as we really are. Sometimes the vision is too much for us to handle. Peter could not stand the contrast between the purity and the power of Christ and his own sinfulness. Here's a man who had been deeply changed on the inside. His pride had been burned away by a transforming vision of Christ. And then we come to Jesus' call, personal commitment. Luke 5, verse 10. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, from now on you're going to catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and they followed him. You know, I find it significant that Jesus seems, in a sense, to ignore Peter's desperate confession of unworthiness. Jesus knew the truth about Peter. He knew it all along. What matters is that Peter now knows the truth about himself. With his pride stripped away, he's now ready to really serve the Lord. There's an important lesson for all of us to ponder in this. When we encounter Jesus, we must never be the same again. No one can meet Jesus and walk away unchanged. We may end up closer to God, or we may harden our hearts. No one ever meets Jesus and stays the same way. In Peter's case, his confession became part of his testimony. He knew he was a sinner and wasn't ashamed to admit it. God can use a person who knows his weaknesses and doesn't try to hide it. By trade, Peter was a fisherman, evidently a good one. Now Jesus is going to give Peter a new occupation. For this day he had fished for fish. Henceforth he would fish for people. Even better, he will catch some. The same thing can happen to all of us. When we finally respond to Christ's call, he changes us, and then he changes our personal agenda. If we decide to take Christ seriously, we may end up doing something we never thought possible. You may say, "Well, what if Jesus asks me to do something I can't do?" Let me tell you, he may actually ask you to do that. If he only asked you to do stuff you could already do, you wouldn't need him. But when he asks us to do something we can't do, he gives us the power to do what we thought we could never do. And we can end up doing it, and he's the one who gets. But for most today, the call of Christ means going back to work tomorrow morning with a new determination to serve Jesus Christ on the job. Or it means going back to the classroom in September for some of you young people, determined to be a disciple for Christ no matter what anyone else may say or anyone else may do. Or it may mean staying right where you are, even in the midst of personal difficulty, as part of your faithfulness to Christ. But it is possible that someone here today has heard a call of God to pursue some kind of full-time ministry. Don't ignore that call. Continue to listen for further instruction or act on what God has already shown you to do, as I did some 50 years ago. For Peter and friends, following Christ meant leaving behind the old life, including the incredible catch of fish, giving up the boats and the nets and their livelihood, and following Christ into an unknown future. Letting go must always come first. Anything that hinders our walk with Christ must go. Even some good things must go, in order that better things may come from the Lord. We can't have it both ways. The word for follow means to walk the same road. That's what a disciple does. He walks the same road as Jesus did. He gets on the Jesus road and follows it wherever it may lead. He simply walks that road every day, following in his master's steps. Don't be afraid to follow Jesus. You will never regret starting down the Jesus road. You'll only regret that you waited so long to do it. Are you ready to follow Jesus wherever he may lead you? That's all he wants. He gave up everything and followed him. And my heart cry is out today, even today. Me too, Lord. Me too. However the Lord may lead in the days of my life for me, I want to be willing to follow in his steps however he would lead. He wants to make you and I fishers of men. We're going to sing that chorus, the great old chorus that reminds us of that truth. It not only includes men, it includes women, boys and girls, children, young people.